Isn't it wonderful the things that God uses to speak to our hearts and into our lives? We never cease to be amazed at what God uses in order to reveal himself to us in different ways. Of course, he can use a hymn. Of course, he can use spiritual songs. Of course, he can use a sermon. Of course, he can use a gospel tract. Of course, he can use a passage of scripture. But sometimes in life, God comes, and through the everyday, ordinary things of life, he speaks to us. He speaks to us in a powerful way that we never forget. He speaks to us sometimes through the ordinary things of life that nearly stops us in our tracks. Things that have been around us maybe before, maybe for years, and we've seen them, but we haven't seen them. We've noticed them, but we haven't noticed them. But then God comes and uses those things to speak directly into our lives. And isn't it a wonderful thing when God does that? Jeremiah, I'm sure he'd passed the potter's house many times before. I'm sure he was in the potter's house many times before. I'm sure he went in and watched the potter working many times before. And he probably marveled at the great ability and talent and gifts that the potter had in order to produce the beautiful pottery that was available in his shop to buy. God wanted to do something new in Jeremiah's life. God wanted to speak to Jeremiah in a particular way, and he didn't take him to church. He took him to the potter's house. And God was going to reveal to Jeremiah great truths through the ordinary, everyday things of life. I wonder, has God been trying to speak to you? And perhaps you feel, well, you need to be in church for God to speak to you, or you need to be reading the Bible for God to speak to you. Of course, he speaks to you through those things. But I wonder, has God been trying to break into your life in a new way? Has God been trying to bring a message to your heart through the ordinary, everyday things of life that you have seen so often? You take them for granted. You hardly notice them. But you know what I want to say to you this morning? Look again at what's around you. Look again at what's going on in your life. Look again. Because God uses the ordinary, everyday things of life. And what did Jeremiah see? Well, he saw what he saw the last time. He saw the potter at his wheel, working away, working the clay. So he worked the clay, able to produce whatever style, whatever shape, whatever height of pot he desired. And God spoke as Jeremiah watched. Well, what did he learn from what he saw? Well, first of all, he saw the clay. And before the potter could produce anything, of course, he had to have the right materials to use. And not just, he didn't just have to acquire the materials, but he had to prepare the materials before he could successfully use them on his wheel. Nowadays, you would get a wee van trundling past with this ready-prepared bag of clay, but not so in this day. Whenever he received the clay, then he had to work the clay, first of all, before it was even ready to put on the wheel and to use. Because the clay consisted of various types of dirt and sand combined together with water to form this material that in those days would have been molded into bricks for building or sculptures or pottery or even toys at that time or writing tablets as well. And Jeremiah watched, and it struck him afresh that before the potter got to the stage where everybody was looking at, there was something important to be done with the clay. And as he watched, he saw the potter take the clay and sift the clay and remove any impurities that might be in the clay. Because the potter knew it's all right, but if the smallest stone was able to remain in the clay, then no problem as it was in the bag. But when it went on the wheel, and as he came to finishing off the pot, well, then the smallest of stones in that mixture would mean that the pot would be marred, and he couldn't get the desired texture. He couldn't get it as smooth as he would have have wanted it to be. And all that was done before anything else. All that was done before the potter could take it, shape it, mold it, make it. And surely God was wanting Jeremiah to realize again, oh, he knew this. But God was speaking to him again and saying, Jeremiah, do you see what you're looking at? Do you realize what you're looking at? God's message to Jeremiah was that we are all clay. Jeremiah knew that. But God spoke it to him in a new way. Genesis 2, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. In Job 4, verse 19, Job describes the people as those who live in houses of clay, whose foundations are in the dust. Or again in Job 10, remember that you molded me like the clay. Will you now turn me to dust again? Or Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 4, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. And you know, every one of us needs to be reminded this morning that that's what we are. We are clay. We come from the dust of the ground. Every one of us born into this world, we're born with all kinds of impurities in the clay. All kinds of impurities that contaminate us, that have to be removed from us before God can begin to work, before God can mold and shape something beautiful out of our lives. God needs to sift the clay of our hearts. God needs to sift the clay of our lives. God needs to remove the impurities first and foremost before he can ever get us on the wheel. You know, there's so many people who say, oh, I wish God would do this in my life. Oh, I wish God could do in me what he's done in somebody else. And sometimes we're looking at the finished article and we say, I wish it could be like that. But we need to go right back to the crude materials at the start. And if we're ever going to be anything like the finished product, then we need to have the sifting of the clay to start with. The quality of the clay in my life, and if I might suggest in your life, is very poor. It's full of the particles of sin. It's full of the impurities of the mind. It's full of the pollution of a rebellious heart. It's full of the corruption of the lust of the flesh and the cravings of our own sinful human nature. All of us. Before God can make something beautiful out of your life, gotta sift it. Gotta remove what contaminates the clay. And that's why it says in 1 John 1 and verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And before God can take you and use you and mold you and shape you and make you into something beautiful, as one day, whenever we arrive in heaven, we'll be perfect. We'll not just be beautiful. We'll be perfect in every way. But before we can ever arrive in heaven perfect, the finished article, we've got to let Jesus sift the clay. I wonder this morning, is the clay of your life still full of the old rottenness of sin? The old impurities of lust and all those sorts of things? Well, then the Bible says, 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's where it starts. If you want God to do something wonderful in your life, if you want God to make something beautiful out of your life, then it starts when you come to Christ. And you fall on your knees before him and you confess your sin and you ask him to sift you and remove the impurities by his precious blood shed on the cross so long ago. There's no other way to start. And if you won't start with the blood, you won't finish the perfect article. If you don't start with the blood, you'll never arrive in heaven. You'll never be made perfect. I wonder, is there anybody in church today and the clay of your life is still full of all the old things of this world and this life. Maybe there, you've thought to yourself, you know, I hear what's been said in church on a Sunday. I see people's lives around me that have trusted Christ. And maybe there's something in there and you think to yourself, you know, I wish I could be like them. Well, my friend, it all starts when you ask Jesus to sift the clay. Will you do that? Second thing that Jeremiah noticed when he went into the potter's house was, of course, the potter himself. And as Jeremiah stepped into the workshop, then he was watching a craftsman at work. And it's wonderful to do that. We have a silversmith in Glenarm. If you ever come to Glenarm, we have a lovely forest. We have a beautiful marina. And bring the wife over, or the girlfriend, or whatever. Beautiful silversmith up the main street. And you can watch them making the stuff there before your very eyes. And it's wonderful to watch it. And I'm sure it was wonderful for Jeremiah to watch this craftsman do his stuff. He specialized in the molding, in the shaping, in the making of a worthless lump of dirt into a beautiful work of art. And as Jeremiah watched the potter working with the clay, God spoke to him as he watched. And he thought to himself about the authority and the power that the potter had over the clay. He'd seen it all before, but now God said to him, do you see that again, Jeremiah? Do you notice the power and the authority that the potter has over the clay? And then, of course, he spoke to his heart about the sovereign God of heaven, who's got power and authority over the nations of this world, who's got power and authority over the individuals who go to make up every nation of this world. In verse 6, the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God says, can I not do with you as this potter does? The clay was helpless to purify itself. The clay wasn't jumping out of the bag to sift itself. The potter had to do that. You're not jumping out of the bag this morning to come to Jesus to get your sins cleansed. But Jesus is coming to you today to say, that's what I can do. That's what I want to do. That's what I've got to do for you if we're ever going to start on this journey together. And Jeremiah realized that the clay was helpless in shaping itself. It was helpless in molding itself. But yet, when this worthless lump of clay was put into the hands of the craftsman, then everything was different. And the potter could do whatever he liked. If he wanted to make a plate out of the clay couldn't shout to the potter, don't want to be a plate, I want to be a pot. The potter could do whatever he liked with the clay. And the clay was helpless and powerless to say otherwise. Isaiah 64, as we said to the children, we are the clay, he is the potter. And here's what God was asking Jeremiah to go and to preach then to the people. God has an incontestable authority and an irresistible ability to form us, to shape us, to make us in just whatever way he pleases. It would be absurd for you or for me, wouldn't it be, to complain about what God was doing in our lives? The clay couldn't complain to the potter. So why is it that so many of us, human beings, complain about what God's doing? Have we any right to complain? Have we any authority to complain? Whenever we are simply the clay, and God has this incontestable authority and irresistible ability to do whatever he likes in your life, to do whatever he likes in you, with you, through you, around you. Why should we complain? Sometimes people argue with God. You can't do this to me. You shouldn't have allowed that to happen to my husband, my wife, my family. What do you think you're doing? Allowing me to go through such hard times. My friend, God has every right to do with me as he likes. And he's every right to do with you whatever he likes. And I have no grounds for complaint. And neither have you. God was asking Jeremiah. It wasn't an easy message to tell to the people, to preach to the people. It was going to be a message that the people would rebel against. The people were going to resist God's authority. They were going to resist God's ability to do whatever he liked with them. I wonder this morning, whenever Jeremiah was watching the potter forced that clay to the shape that he wanted it to be. And sometimes it took great pressure. As the potter forced his thumbs into the middle of that clay to force the clay apart, to force the clay to get into the shape that the potter was wanting it to be. And then when at times the potter was touching the clay so gently to bring the smooth finish to the surface, that if the clay had feelings, it wouldn't have hardly felt the touch of the potter upon his life. My friend, sometimes when God is shaping me or shaping you, he has to apply the pressure. It's not nice. Because unlike the clay that's on the potter's wheels, well, you do have feelings, and so do I. You do have tears, and so do I. And when God's putting on the pressure, it's not nice. But Jeremiah was bringing this message to the people that whatever God is doing, his ways are best. Whatever God is doing, God has a plan, God has a purpose. And if you are coming under pressure in your life, it's not needless pressure. God's not allowing you to go through difficult times to ruin your life, to destroy your joy, to wreck what you have. God's putting the pressure on because he's trying to force the clay into the shape that he wants so that he can make something beautiful and perfect out of you. And it's all right the times when God comes with a gentle touch. We like that. Why wouldn't we? But when he's doing the forcing, when he's putting on the pressure, it's not nice. And God uses the ordinary everyday things around us in order that he would have his way in our lives. The pressure of difficult and painful circumstances. That's not easy. The loss of a loved one, it's not easy. When you lose your health, it's not easy. When you finish in the hospital and major surgery, it's not easy. But I'd have to say to you that the people that I've met in life who have the greatest faith in God are the people that have been through the hard times. Because it's in the hard times God meets with us, ministers to us. And even though it's hard, it's the hand of God. And it's for a purpose. Oh, you mightn't see it now. Might break your heart now. But God does everything that's right and good and perfect. His will, the Bible says, it's good, it's pleasing, it's perfect. Not easy. And when the potter's finished, and he's put the pressure on, and then he's the gentle touch to finish off the outside, where does he put it? Then he puts it in the kiln. He puts it in the fire. Whenever life gets hot, it's horrible. And yet God puts us through the fire in order that the shape can be hardened, in order that the colors can be made fast. You see, before the pot goes into the kiln, it can be so easily destroyed. Before the pot goes into the kiln, the colors you wouldn't even recognize. I'm colorblind anyway, but you couldn't hardly recognize the colors before it goes into the fire. But when it goes into the fire brings the color out, and it makes the color fast, and it makes the shape permanent. Whenever God brings us through the fires, the fiery trials of life, that can cause us to shed many a tear, that can keep us awake many a night, God's bringing something beautiful out in the finished product. You got to hold on to that. You got to remember that. God doesn't put you in the fire to destroy you. God puts you in the fire to bring out the qualities that are there. Have thine own way, Lord, the hymn says, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will. While I am yielded, while I am waiting, yield it and still. We sing that hymn, so easy, isn't it? Mould me and make me after thy will. Look, lovely, that's a lovely thought. But you've got to go through the fire to get there. You prepared for the fire in order to allow God to mould you, make you, whatever way he wants. Then the last thing he saw was the pot itself. There was something more that God wanted to say to Jeremiah that day, and it was to do with the pot. As Jeremiah watched, he sees something happen. Verse 4, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. As Jeremiah was watching this master craftsman at his work, something happened with the clay in his hands. Something happened. And the pot was marred. To mar means to be flawed, damaged, defaced, disfigured, ruined, or spoiled. Something happened that ruined the shape of the pot. And as the potter works, something goes wrong. Maybe the clay maybe hadn't got all the impurities out. Maybe there was still some left there. Maybe there was a tiny stone or whatever. But you know, God was saying to Jeremiah, look at what he did. He didn't throw the pot away. He remade the pot. He remade it. He remade it according to his will and according to his purpose. And you see, as long as the clay was pliable, was still pliable in the hands of the potter, he could remake it. He could remake it. He could remake it as many times as he liked. Every time he brought it up and something was wrong, he could force it back down again and bring it back up again. As long as the clay was soft, as long as the clay was pliable in the potter's hands, he could change it into whatever design he wanted to. But then in Jeremiah 19, Jeremiah's preaching. I don't know whether somebody annoyed him or whatever, but he lifted a pot and he threw it in the middle of the sermon. That would waken everybody up. And he smashed the pot. And there was no putting that pot back in the potter's wheel. There was no being able to reshape that one. That pot had to be swept up. That pot had to be thrown away. That pot was ruined forever. And Jeremiah, as he watched this, the clay was marred in the potter's hand, but God said to him, so he made it again. So he made it again. So he made it again. God said to Jeremiah, go out and tell the people that. Sin has marred our lives. Sin has disfigured us. Sin has spoiled us. But God can make us again. And no matter how damaged your heart is from sin, the song says, only Jesus can make you whole again. And he can do that. That's the message that we have got to take out into the world today. A world that's wrecked and ruined with sin, warped and twisted in every kind of conceivable way by sin. People's lives that are wrecked and ruined and horrible and ugly. But God can make it again. God can make it again. My friend, no matter what sin has done to you, God can make you again. As long as you're soft, as long as you're pliable, as long as you're open to the Lord, He can do it. No matter how spoilt it is, ruined it is, wrecked it is, that's why we have the confidence to walk into any prison, to speak to any person that's been guilty of the lowest crimes that society could know, and we could say to that person, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, can cleanse you from all your sin. That's why we can say to you with confidence this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, can cleanse you from all sin. And no matter how damaged your heart is from sin, Jesus can make you whole again. But my friend, maybe for you, that message has gone in and out, year in, year out. You've heard it from Sunday school. You've heard it in church. You've heard it in missions. You've read it in tracts. You've seen it in advertisements. You've watched it in DVDs and videos. You said, no, I don't want Jesus. I don't want anything to do with us being saved. I want to live my life the way I want to do. I want to experience what I want to experience. Young folk, the devil will say to you, come with me, and I'll show you what real life's about. Go with your parents to church, and they'll show you and teach you things that will ruin your life and take away your joy. You come with me, and I'll show you the lights. I'll show you the pleasures. I'll show you all there is to have. And you see, when He's finished with you, you're wrecked and ruined. He's a liar, the Bible says. And He's the father of liars. He's a murderer. He's a destroyer. And yet, how many of us has He got a grip of our life? And I want to say to you this morning, as long as you remain soft and pliable, as long as you remain open to the Lord, He can remake you. But if you harden your heart and you set your face against Christ and you refuse to have anything to do with Him, my friend, you're in danger of being like the pot in Jeremiah 19, that whenever he threw it, it smashed to bits. And all it was fit for was to be swept up, thrown into the rubbish pan, thrown into the bin. See, if you harden your heart against the Lord, He can't do anything more. You harden your heart against the Lord, He can't put you back on the wheel and remake you. That's why it says so often in the Bible, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. You know, this morning, hell is full of people that harden their hearts. And that's where they're finished. In the place of the damned. Place of the lost, place of the rejected, the place of the abandoned, ruined, wrecked, destroyed forever. Forever. Is that what you want? See, God's offering you this morning to come into your life, to take out the impurities, to shape you and mold you by the things that happen around in our lives. And one day take you to heaven in Christ, made perfect and beautiful in Him. That's one story. The other story is that while Christ offers to take away the impurities in your life, while Christ wants to shape you and mold you and take you to heaven, you say, no, I will not have this man to rule over me. I don't want him. I've met people that did that. Did it once too often. And God literally said to them, all right then, have it your way. You don't want me, right then, you won't have me. I remember speaking to a man in Belfast, a man broken in tears, and he said, I remember the last time God spoke to me. We mission hall in Belfast. And he said, I wouldn't have him. And the tears were blinding him, running down his cheeks. Now he says, I can't have him. My friend, if you pass that point of being soft and pliable to being hard and cold and closed, then God can do nothing with you. You're ruined. You're finished. You're lost. That's not what he wants. That's not what your minister wants. That's not what the elders want. That's not what the other believers in this church want. They want you to come to Christ. They want you to know Christ. They want you to be letting Christ work on you the way he's working on them. You know, so many people, when they're not saved, will point the finger at the Christians and say, Christians, sure they're rotten. Every one of them's rotten. I know this man, he does this. I know this woman claims to be a Christian, sings this man, and she does this. You see, when God saves you, he doesn't make you perfect. He makes you Christian. One day, we will be perfect when he's finished with us. But every one of us who know Christ in this church, he's only working on us now. He's still in the shaping process. So don't judge the finished article by what you see now. Let Christ do what only Christ can do for you, will you? Don't harden your heart. For goodness sake, don't harden your heart. And if you have been rejecting him, stop it. Stop it while you can. Because if you pass the point of no return, the pot's broken, smashed, ruined, finished, destroyed, wrecked forever. I take it you don't want that. Well then, if you don't, come to Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for what we've shared together this morning. We thank you that we have enjoyed being in your house. We have enjoyed singing the hymns and listening to the ministry of the choir and the music. Now, Father God, we thank you for what you've said to us. We thank you are the sovereign God of heaven. You are the potter. We are the clay. Thank you for those whom you've saved already here this morning, and you're working on us. Continue to work, Lord, we pray. Help us to submit and be prepared to submit to you. And Lord, help us who know you to accept what happens to us in life are things that you will have allowed because it's part of the shaping process so that you can make us beautiful and perfect in your time. Father, for those whose hearts are becoming harder, to those who have been resisting you now for maybe years, oh, speak again, we pray. And help them this day to get right with Christ and to start on the way to heaven. Oh God, we thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ is able to save every man, every woman, every child, every young person. And we thank you, our Father God, that no matter how damaged our life is from sin, yes, only Jesus can make it whole again. Lord, if there are lives that need to be saved in this church this morning, put your hand upon that individual, we pray. And Lord, before this day's through and finished, help them to resist you no more, but rather to say to the potter, have your way in my life, for Jesus' sake. Amen.